Amen. And it shows. It shows tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Amen. As the text tonight says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. All the commandments which I command you this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. This Bible is not full of just do's and don'ts because God had, he likes telling people what to do. No, the principles that are in this Bible, the commandments that are in this Bible are there so we may live. And Jesus said that you might have life more abundantly. The lawgiver in Deuteronomy said that you may multiply. Amen. And go in and possess the land that the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2 says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know. In other words, what's being said here is that God did a new thing just to show you that he means business. He did a new thing, something that has never been done before, something that nobody has ever known about. He did it for you. Hallelujah. That he might make thee know, and this is the whole reason why, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. I want to preach for however long the Lord allows me tonight. I want to preach on this topic, miracle bread. Now, I have preached from this subject before. In fact, I used some of these notes. But I was not able to get to a specific point that I feel like the Lord impressed on me very strongly this afternoon. And he wants some of you to understand. He wants you to walk away from this service tonight with a new understanding. He's going to do something for you. Hallelujah. Something that you have never seen before. Hallelujah. I wish there's some that believed what I'm saying here tonight. Amen. I know there are some, but I wish there were more. I wish everybody under the sound of my voice had this kind of confidence. God, you're able. God, you're willing. God, you can do it. Come on, let's thank the Lord right now. Jesus, we're grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's magnify him some more. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I love you, Savior. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good to us. You could be seated in his presence tonight. Amen. Thank you. And I know some of you may have heard me preach this message. I don't even remember if I preached it here. I did not go back and look. To be honest with you, I didn't really have time. I had two other total sets of notes ready for tonight. And I thought I was ahead. Thought I was prepared. And then I went this afternoon and Bishop made this statement. I wish he had not said this. But we had lunch with him, and he said, yeah, those two probably are not even the right direction. And if he had not said this, I think the Lord might have let me preach one of those. But you know, he was in two of the Holy Ghost. And so I began to pray, and I sought God, and I spent most of the afternoon just in prayer. And then as we got prepared to come and prepare to practice, these additional points started coming in, and I want to share this. I feel really strongly that the Lord would like to give an understanding, perhaps to some that have not yet had this understanding. I mean, this was new to me, so as I hope it's going to help somebody tonight. Amen. But I do need to lay a bit of a foundation and take you back to some of these scriptures. Now, when I use this title, Miracle Bread, you know, Bishop even mentioned it this morning, referring to manna, how the Lord provided and made provision for his people in the wilderness. And it was a miracle. There's no question about it. And as we read in Deuteronomy 8, when Moses was recounting what happened in the book of Exodus, he was saying, man, that was something we've never seen before. We never knew that God would do this. He's so capable, but yet so willing that he just did a new thing altogether. He just threw away the playbook and said, I'm going to write my own playbook. I've got a people that are coming out of bondage. They're going to a place. They're walking by faith. Amen. And I've got to do something. Now, if you know the context, and the reason Bishop mentioned it this morning was because of their attitude that they were approaching the Lord. They made some statements. I can read Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. The children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. This is their attitude. This is their approach. Moses, what did you do dragging us out of here, out of Egypt? At least we had bread enough to the full. But Moses had something burning on the inside of him. He had just come out of his own wilderness experience. He had just come out of his own personal confrontation or experience with God. And he has some testimony. He has something, amen, that he recognized that there's something more to what God is doing here. He's not just, amen, building a nation, but he's setting something. He's setting a pattern. And you can read through the rest of Deuteronomy and see, amen, all those things. And I'm not going to get sidetracked into all that. But the Lord had to. I want to repeat that. The Lord had to perform a miracle for the people of God. He had to. He had to. He could have started, yes, I can hear the naysayers in my mind saying, yeah, he could have started from scratch, could have built a whole new name. Totally, totally. But if he's going to use this people that he delivered from Egypt, he had to do a miracle. He had to perform a miracle. Amen. And their complaint was, we did eat bread to the full over there. And the Lord said, well, I've got something better for you. And so the Lord responded by giving them manna. And Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, the immediate verse after the one we just read, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now, the people are focused on the bread. They're focused on food and hunger. But God is focused on something altogether different. And he's said, I'm going to provide this miracle, but there's a reason why I'm doing this. And he says at the end of this passage, whether they will walk in my law or not. Whether or not this manna tasted good was irrelevant. Whether it was the number one item on the menu at the restaurant does not matter. The Lord was meeting a need. The Lord had a specific problem that he was solving for the nation of Israel. Amen. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 16, verse 35, that the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. So whether they wanted it to be the number one item on the menu, it was the only thing on the menu. For 40 years, the Lord performed this miracle. Day in and day out. This is not my message, but I will just stop long enough to ask this question. What miracles is God doing for us on a daily basis that we just take for granted? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But even after 40 years, some of these Israelites, they took for granted It came on the ground just like dew in the morning. So for these, now for us, if we stepped out of our front door and we saw all this bread and all this manna on the ground, we would be astonished. That is out of the ordinary. We do not expect this to happen. But these folks got to a point after 40 years, you can imagine. They just got to where they were expecting it. I wonder how many of them woke up and they just went through the motions and totally forgot about their manna, their miracle. They perhaps picked it up. That was part of the agreement. You got to pick it up enough for one day. And so the Lord would sustain them every single day except for the last day of the week, the sixth day, and then he would provide enough for 2 days. But they had enough. It was enough for what they needed. I mean, just bear with me for a moment. But they got to a point, I would imagine, at least some of them got to a point where when they reached down and picked it up, it was just part of their routine at that point. Hey, Jimmy, go outside and get the manna. We've got things to do here in the house. And so Jimmy goes out there and grabs his bag and fills it up, and he gets enough for this day, and they sit down to breakfast, and they eat manna French toast or whatever they call it, manna toast. They had a manna sandwich, and they had manna roast for dinner. Every single day. And so perhaps it got monotonous, and I imagine that you can use your imagination to see what I'm saying here. Numbers 11 and 5 tells us that while they're eating this miracle bread, when they got accustomed to it, here's some other complaints that they offer. They said, "We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And all you got for me is manna." They're comparing what they are experiencing by way of miracle with what you can grow out of the ground. They did not have to work for this manna. They did not have to labor for this manna. It was just available to them. All they had to do was go grab it, just like they'd have to grab the melons off of the vines, just like they had to grab the onions off the plants. Just like they'd have to do all of that, the manna was there even easier. It was right in front of their home. But they remember the fish that they had to pull out of the rivers. They remember the cucumbers that they had to pull off of the vines or whatever they grow on, melons, all these things. They remember all this, but they forgot about all the work that was associated with all that. Even more, they forgot about all the beatings that they were taking while they were eating all the leeks and the onions and the melons and the garlic. Ooh, such flavor, but at what cost? At what cost? Amen. Let me just issue this reminder. This, again, is not my point, but when the miraculous becomes ordinary to us, amen, then I think that we ought to just take a pause and take a step back and remember the miracle that we have. Listen, we go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night. You guys can preach this as well as I can. Amen. And so I'm not going to dwell long here. Amen. But do not grow, amen, content with what has become ordinary, because it's still a miracle. Amen. When the guest comes in off of the streets and they witness an almighty move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It might have become ordinary to you. Amen. But don't shrug it off when for them it's a brand new sensation. They've never walked through this kind of a wilderness before. They've never walked through this camp before. They don't know what it's like. Amen. For God to provide for them. Hallelujah. They're used to having to go and work and get it for themselves. Hallelujah. Amen. But from the very beginning, I just use that story to remind you because most of you perhaps thought of that story as I mentioned the title here. But the Lord's been in the miracle baking business for a long time. He really has. From the very beginning, the Bible tells us that if you're hungry and if you're thirsty, he will give to you what you're looking for. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He didn't qualify this promise with the way that you live. He didn't qualify this promise with the outfit that you got on. He didn't qualify this promise in any shape or form. A bishop preached that so much better than I can tonight. But let me just tell you, you can't do enough good things. Your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what the prophet said. Said you can't put enough tithing in the offering plate. You can't give enough to God. Whatever you do, it's just rags. It's filthy, filthy rags. Hallelujah. You can't do much with filthy rags. We've been trying to prepare our house, and I've been doing a lot of caulking, a lot of painting, and after some time, that rag is no longer usable. I have to do something with the rag. I have to take it to a sink and power wash it, or use the little thing on it, or I take it outside, use a water hose and get as much of it out as I can, and so I can use it just a little bit longer, or I have to throw it away and get all together and get a totally new one. That's what our righteousnesses are as. Amen. When we come to God and we offer what little bit that we have, it's Him that can take this and make it usable. He can wash it, He can cleanse it, He can purify it. Is anybody going to help me tonight? Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, no matter, how little or how insignificant you feel that what you have to offer God is, He's able to take it and to use it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, what I believe the Lord has put on my heart. I don't know how much longer I'm going to preach. I'm just going to try to follow the Holy Ghost. I hope I can get through to somebody tonight. You're trying your dead level best, to do enough. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you can't do enough. You can't sing good enough. You can't dress nice enough. You can't pray enough. I'm here. Somebody listen to me. Amen. You can't go through the motions enough. You can't go to enough church services. Oh, hallelujah. I feel this so strongly in my spirit. I'm trying to help somebody understand. The things that you're doing, they're good, but they're not enough. They're not enough. They're not enough. But if you hunger and if you're thirsty, He will make it enough. If you're hungry and you're thirsty, He will make it enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible, uses bread as a type, a symbol. This is part of what I've preached before, but I'm just going to use this quickly here. Jesus, it's most obvious when Jesus was talking about, the act, the sacrament of communion. In Matthew 26 and 26, he says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. What did he say was his body? The bread. The bread. The bread is the body of Christ. Hallelujah. He very clearly states that the bread of the Passover is a representation of his human body. His human body was going to be broken. His human body was going to spill blood. His human body was getting ready to be the very sacrifice, that buys our redemption. It was this bread, if you will, as represented in the Passover, that Jesus said, this bread is my body. This bread is my body. I want to point something out that I believe the Lord has showed to me. God requires man in order to make manna. I'm going to ask you this question. What good would it have done if God created the manna and there was nobody there to gather it? It would have just grown the worms over the next day, and then new manna comes and just heaps and heaps of corrupted, disgusting, gross. Ugh. Who would want to clean that mess up? Nobody. So in order, the reason that God created manna was for man. Amen. When God performs a miracle, he does it for man. He does it for man. I know this is simple, but do you want a miracle? Do you want God to do something for you that's out of the ordinary? Then what you need to do is supply him with the ordinary. You want God to take your situation and change it? You need to give yourself, your own body, your own life to him. God requires man to make manna. God requires a sacrifice. Now, I know the story. You're saying, well, that doesn't apply perfectly. I'm going to take you through some more scriptures in just a moment. Amen. But in that particular story, obviously the Lord, amen, created manna out of thin air. I don't know what the source of it was. Obviously, the Bible says that it comes out of heaven. And so it came out of heaven. But I believe there's a principle throughout scripture that in Jesus' own sacrifice, he demonstrated for us that the miracle of redemption came through the body of Jesus Christ. That he had to be broken. That he had to sacrifice. Are you hearing me tonight? That he had to give of himself willingly. I mean, you can read about him, his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, how little he actually wanted to do so. Amen. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. I don't want my body to be broken. I do not want to take on this weight. I do not want to bear this cross. But if you're going to do the miracle, you need a body. You need bread. If God is going to make miracle bread, he needs bread. He needs bread. He needs you. We pray, God, give us a miracle. This is the part, by the way, that I never got to the first time around. So I'm right where I want to be. So I'm going to take as much time as I need to get this through. Hey, man, I've worked with thick skulls a long time. I've got one. It takes me a while to understand things. It takes me a while. Bishop, I could hear Bishop under his breath saying, amen. Just kidding. He didn't say anything. But he's probably thinking it. If you want a miracle, guess what you got to do? You got to take your situation to him and say, hey, I've done as much as I can do. I've taken this as far as I could take it. I need you to take my bread and turn it into miracle bread. I need you to take what I have to offer. I've already told you what you have to offer is not enough. You can't sanctify it enough. You can't sprinkle enough holy anointing oil on it to make it, you know, usable, the kingdom of God. That is all God's department. Your department is to just bring the bread. Your department is just to bring what he gave to you in the first place. Let's go back to our text. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, he humbled thee. He suffered thee to hunger, and then he fed you with manna. This is why that the situation that you're in is so difficult. You don't understand. Why? Because God is taking you through a process of humility. Of humbling. I preached a message recently and Bishop said, I hope you're ready to go through that because the Lord has a way of just taking you through situations that when you preach something, that he just takes you through that so you can live what you preached. And I'm okay with that. Amen. I have also lived this experience of being humbled.
I thought what I had to offer was good enough. I thought that what I had to offer was sufficient. I thought that I had more, amen, than enough to give to God. Amen. And through the process of time, as I wandered in a wilderness separated from everybody else, I came to the realization, amen, that my leeks and my onions and my melons, amen, don't do well in the wilderness. They can't grow in this dirt, in this grimy, amen, this wilderness ground. I'm here to tell you, amen, God doesn't need, amen, any vines. He doesn't need any trees. All he needs is what you have to offer. Hallelujah. Amen. Too often we miss a miracle. Why? Because we are so focused, amen, on getting the seed in the ground and getting enough nutrition to it. Amen. And all the while we don't realize we're not even in the right environment. Somebody hear me tonight. Amen. You're not in the right environment. You need to be uprooted and moved into a new place so God can take what you have to offer and do the miracle. Hallelujah. That's why you keep running into the same, amen, wall. That's why you keep running into the same rut. That's why you can't get out. Amen. Because you keep going back to the same bondage, the same Egyptian masters. I know how to make the onions grow. I know how to make the melons grow. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. I know how to make it work. But I'm here to tell you that your melons and your onions, all they're going to do is leave you in bondage. You'll never get, amen, to that place that you desire to be in God. Hallelujah. You read your Bible, you say, wow, what wonders that God did in the book of Acts. You think how amazing God really is. And you believe that God. You believe he's genuine. You believe he's real, that he still has that power. I don't doubt any one of your faith tonight. Amen. But I am here to tell you, amen, that the thing that you're running into, amen, is the ground in which you're working. Amen. Rather than digging into the ground, amen, the soil of this earth, and trying to make something of nothing, why don't you just take what you got and give it to him? He can take that bread. He can turn it around. He can make it what he wants it to be. Come on, let's talk to the Lord right now. Come on, child of God. Lift your voice and love him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, everybody, let's talk to him right now. Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He called up a husband. Hallelujah. There are people who've learned to dress up their melons, dress up their garlic, and make it all look beautiful. They've learned how to make it look like it's enough. The Apostle Paul mentioned to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 18, he says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Who are the enemies of the cross of Christ? These are, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. The people who think that life is all about just producing enough bread for the families, for those who depend on them. And, you know, the Bible also teaches this principle that if you don't work, that you're worse than an infidel. So I'm not challenging that in any shape or form. But listen to what I am trying to tell you. In a spiritual sense, you have come and you've become satisfied with the garlics and the leeks and onions. Actually, you've developed a preference for that. And all the while, in front of you are miracles. You don't have to put the seed in the ground. You don't have to wait till harvest time. The miracle's right on the ground. You say, if I could just work harder, if I could just save more, if I could just do more. And all the while, it's right here. Bishop said this morning, the Lord is affording to us a window of opportunity. I'm preaching to everybody under the sound of my voice tonight. God is giving you a window of opportunity. And again, don't get me wrong. Amen. If you don't work, you're worse than an infidel. I hope I get a job quickly. And I don't want anybody to talk about me like I'm Belial or the son of Belial or anything. Amen. But when I become so focused on these earthly things or the things that satisfy my belly, the comforts of life. The AC's got to be 68 and the sound has to be tweaked just right and the music has to have this certain tempo and it's got to be my favorite singer or it's got to be my favorite song that's being sung. Unless all of those things align, how in the world could God do this miracle that I'm looking for? Have you looked? Have you stepped outside of your tent in a while? Take a look. Look on the ground. The miracles are right here. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel something right here. Amen. Some of you still haven't received your miracle because you're staying in the tent. This is not in my notes, but I'm going to just set up camp a little bit. Bishop's got my coattail. Not literally, but figuratively. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. I don't have any mind or any person on my mind. I just want to make this statement that if you expect God to give you a miracle or to do a miracle with your bread, then you have got to bring it to him. If that means getting out of your pew and getting into a place of uncomfort, what would you rather do? Stay in the tent or go get the bread? Starve or eat? Oh, how do you can go back to Egypt if you want to. Go ahead, pack up the camp. Amen. We'll see you, amen, in Canaan land. Amen. When we're fighting each other and trying to, no. Amen. I don't think anybody in this place has that desire. Amen. But certainly those are options. Let me appeal to the ones here tonight, amen, who are interested in a miracle from God. Amen. Don't let it grow ordinary. Amen. Don't let it grow common to you. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is trying to talk to somebody right now. I'm telling you, amen, I haven't felt this before, amen, but there is something going on in the spirit, amen, that while you're minding, amen, these earthly things, God has a miracle, a supernatural, amen, something heavenly for you. He cut up a yellow. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip through some of this, Sister Lydia. I want to get to this, the feeding of the 5,000. There's another time Jesus did a miracle with bread. And here's how that story goes. And I know many of you know it. But here's how it goes. John 6:5 says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I need bread, Philip. I need something to work with. Philip, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We need to get some bread. Got to have something to work with. Verse 6, he says, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves. You said bread? Jesus, you want
We got a young man over here. He's got 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? How is 5 barley loaves going to feed 5,000? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was so much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down. Likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You know those miracles that Bishop talked about this morning? Angels brought the gifts that were available. God takes strict and specific account of every miracle that he sends to his people. You think 5,000, how much bread, how many pieces of bread do you need to feed 5,000? Jesus certainly knows, because he asked these men to take up so that nothing would be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. It doesn't specify for us the exact number of people. We've got 5,000 men, but it's possible that there was more than just the 5,000 men. I've heard Bishop and I've heard others estimate 15, perhaps even 20,000, if just one woman for every man and one child for one or two children for every couple. But Andrew had a question that every one of us do. When we bring what we have to offer to God, and we lay it down, and we say, here's what I've got to offer. Andrew asked the question, what are these among so many? How can you use this? What can you do with my bread? Just a little boy. 5 barley loaves. Not even very tasty, if you ask me. But this young man says, if you can use that, you can have it. If you can, I have no way of knowing how you could divide this among 5,000. Maybe you just want to distribute this among your disciples. And I don't know. But I am taking care of my part of the deal. And that is, I'm going to give you my bread. My bread. I said a minute ago that how he does it is not really your department. I feel the Holy Ghost so strongly right now. Your department is to come and present your body. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to change this to be something usable. I don't know how you're going to make me something effective. Believe me, friend, I've prayed that prayer probably 1,000 times. Probably enough to feed the 5,000 times. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're willing, it doesn't have to be any whiz-bang action that God does. He doesn't have to come up here and knock you off your feet. There's none of that that necessarily has to happen. It's happened, but it doesn't have to happen. What has to happen is that you present your body, that you present your bread.
And you say, Lord, if you can use this, I'm here to tell you, this is God's miracle-making process. How many stories have we heard about of little nobodies who came and just gave what they had to God? And I don't mean this in any negative way, Bishop, but and they're now writing books on how to understand the Godhead and understanding the new birth. And I'm not saying that Bishop is a nobody, but I am saying that, and he said this many times himself, that he came from nothing. Probably could have phrased that a little better. I feel something so strong right now. I wish somebody, amen, was making the connection that I'm actually talking about you. I'm actually talking about you. I'm actually talking about how God wants to use you. I'm talking about how God wants to take what you have to offer and to multiply it. Talking about how God wants to take your offering and begin to make miracles with it. There are those that are in great need in your community, in your neighborhood, in your schools, at your workplaces. Hallelujah. There are people that need, amen, they are starving. They are so dependent on their own ability, amen, to produce, amen, the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the, amen, tasteful things, but they don't realize it's not really meeting the need. It's not really filling them up. Hallelujah. And you on your own, amen, no matter how well-intentioned you might be, amen, no matter how much wisdom and experience you may have, you're not enough. I'm not enough. I don't have the right words. Many times I come and I pray for some of you, and I'm thinking, dear God, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to pray. But God, you know exactly what to do in this situation. Take this little bit, amen, this morsel of bread, and meet this need. Fill this gap, amen, fix this problem. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen, God wants to take you off of these pews and out of this sanctuary and go into your workplaces and put a word in your mouth. He wants to anoint you. He wants to take your bread and perform miracles with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Sister Tori, you can come. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, God wants to do extraordinary things. I heard one man talking about this just recently. We're living in the last of the last days. And his observation was that this generation could be the one where the Lord comes back. This could be the generation that the Lord wants to use to bring that great revival before his return. If that's true, he needs some bread to work with. If that's true, he needs some bodies to work with. If that's true, he needs you to work with. He needs you to perform that next miracle. Somebody hear what I'm saying to you right now. Amen. He needs you to get outside of your comfort zone. Amen. And say, God, I don't really even see, amen, how you could use this. What are these among so many? Hallelujah. I feel what you're feeling, friend. I know, amen, the thoughts that you're going through your mind. I can't do enough. I can't sing enough. I can't play enough. I don't have the right knowledge or the right experience. Friend, that's okay. Just take your bread and lay it on the altar and say, God, hallelujah. I see a need over here. I see a need over here. I see a need over here. God, if you can use it. Oh, come on. These altars are open right now. Hallelujah. God, my bread is available. What little I've got, what morsel, what kind of crumb, hallelujah, whatever, amen, whatever, 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 I just want you to know, I want to give it to you. Hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone. You've been living that way, amen, for too long, friend. You've been trying it on your own for too long, friend. You need a word from God. You need a miracle from the hand of God. And he's in this house right now. Amen. He's ready. His hands are spread open. He said, come and give it to me. Put it in my hand. I can multiply it. I can use that. I can change that. Amen. If I need to, I can rearrange. Amen. The very nature. Amen. The very constructive elements. Amen. That are a part of you. You say, I'm not good enough. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. Amen. I've got all kinds of problems. Just put it in his hand, friend. Just put it in his hand. Just put it right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Put it in his hand. Oh, Jesus. That's it. Some of you are doing it. Some of you are doing it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, God wants to do great and mighty things in this church, through this church, amen, through you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on right now, take that step of faith. Take it. Come on, give it to him. Lord, what are these among so many? How could you use this? How could you use it? Friend, that's not your department. Just give it over to him.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet.
Ooh, come on, step out of that tent.
Lord, speak to me.
Oh,
if you can use
Jesus. In the name of Jesus,
you can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
Oh, take my hands, take my feet.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet.
Oh, Jesus.
Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. If you can use
God, sweet and holy Savior, I want to follow your example.
You can use anything, Lord.
I give my body. I want it to be, if it has to be broken.
You can use anything.
If you got to, God, tear some things off of me. But if you just use me,
take my hands, Lord, take my feet.
Oh,
touch my
Jesus.
Heart, Lord,
hallelujah.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Come on, there's a lad here. There's a lad here
if
with five barley loaves.
Lord, you can use me.
Oh, hallelujah. There's something going on right now.
You can use anything, Lord, you
come
can
on, child
use
of God.
Me.
Put it in his hands right now.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet.
If you're you're struggling and getting to where you need to be, find somebody to help you pray. Hallelujah. Ask them to help you get your loaves into the master's hands. Ask them to help you pray it all the way through. In the name of Jesus.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use.